What happened? Did he have a falling out with the king? Did his wyvern accidentally kill someone? Oh, did he kill someone?
This is Burnwell Reading. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Burnwell Reading, a literary podcast. I'm Ari, with a literal towel on my head.
And I'm Jen, who is easily distracted by books. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different.
A little bit more different even than getting drunk and talking about Pride and Prejudice for 2 hours.
So, what we're doing is we're bumping up production to 2 episodes a month.
Yep, so you'll be getting an episode every 2 Sundays rather than 1 Sunday. Rather than 1 Sunday every month.
So today's episode is a kind of sort of continuation of last month's episode on Pride and Prejudice, because Jen's got a little story. Jen walked into the library to get Lord of the Flies because she doesn't own it. And she had to walk past the new book section.
Oh, Jen.
And what's sitting there besides a book with a dragon on the cover that says All's Fair in Love and Dragonfire? Which, I mean, of course I have to pick it up because dragons.
Jen cannot resist the dragons.
And then I flip it over to read the back, and I see the death words, Pride and Prejudice infused with magic.
Oh god. And how could you resist, you Austin nerd?
So, of course I got it, and of course I started reading it before I started reading Lord of the Flies.
And that's alright, because I've only read 3 chapters of Lord of the Flies so far. I really need to, pick it up because we've only got a couple of weeks for me to finish it.
So, today we're going to be going over a brand new book, which is completely different. So, it's a day of firsts for Burnwell Reading. We will be going over Heartstone by L. Catherine White. It's her debut novel, which I think is also a first story. I don't think we've done a debut before.
No, we're definitely breaking new ground. When we started this podcast, we were under the impression that we were only ever going to be burning classics. Today, we're actually going to be not burning, because you're the person that read this novel. I know nothing about it.
I am in love with this novel. Everyone should read this.
So this is not going to be a burn so much as, we're lighting candles around the book without burning it.
Romancing the book.
Enshrining the book. Alright, so, tell me a little bit about the author, because honestly, this is something that you sprang this on me basically last minute, and I know absolutely nothing about the story or the author. So fill me in.
So, L. Catherine White, it's her first book. It was just published January 17th of 2017.
Congratulations!
So it is brand spanking new.
Woo!
It's only 6 months old.
It's a little baby book. It's so cute.
All I could find about the author was exactly what's in her about the author in the book.
Right.
So I'm just gonna read it word for word.
Okay, go for it.
A textbook introvert who likes to throw out the metaphorical textbook every once in a while just to see what happens. Elle grew up in Buffalo, New York, where she learned valuable life skills like how to clear a snowy driveway in under 20 minutes and how to cheer for the perennial underdog. When she's not writing, she spends her time drinking tea, loitering in libraries and secondhand bookshops, and dreaming of world travel. Heartstone is her first novel.
I feel like I would get along very well with this person.
Yeah.
And she's not local, because Buffalo is pretty far from where we're at right now, but...
Well, that's where she grew up, presumably.
She's in the Northeast, so I consider that local. Presume, yeah.
And it starts off, and the names of her chapters are just beautiful. And I was reading in the back in her acknowledgments. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little. I didn't plan this out too well.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine, it's fine. This is your party. It's your party. You can skip if you want to.
Fun fact, Hearthstone is one of those books that started out as a fan fiction.
Oh.
It started out as, I'm presuming, a Pride and Prejudice fanfic.
That seems like a fair assumption, for sure.
And she literally thanks the entire fanfiction community who read it as she was writing it when she was presumably younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say I'm looking at the picture on the back of her book, and she looks to be in her mid-20s, so I feel like she's a very relatable author for us.
Oh god, yeah, for sure. Didn't you say that you were able to contact this author on Tumblr?
Yes, and we'll provide a link to all of her information, so you can all tell her how much you love the book once you've read it.
Yay! Oh my goodness, I feel like we're breaking so much new ground today. I'm so happy. Like, it's not like every day you can be like, hey, I read this new book, and guess what? This person's on social media, so we can tell them how good it is. Like, what are we going to do? Like walk to France? What are we going to do? Fly to France and, like, stand over Victor Hugo's grave and be like, hey, I really like your work.
Another thing that made me insist on reading the book is the first chapter title is called An Inconvenience of Hobgoblins.
That's beautiful.
Which just sounds like a fabulous chapter title.
So is this like if the Bennett sisters were stuck in a game of Dungeons and Dragons?
It's very similar, but there's a lot of differences.
Because I know you said dragons, but like, It can't just be dragons.
It's all fantasy creatures.
Yeah, it can't just be dragons. Like, if you're mentioning goblins, like...
Hobgoblins, not goblins.
This is going to make me sound racist, but honestly, what's the difference?
Okay. A goblin is, like, something from our favorite podcast that I'm not allowed to name drop.
Don't you dare. I don't need to bleep anything out this episode. Please spare me that.
That is a human-sized figure.
Oh, no.
Presumably a hobgoblin.
Goblins are teeny tiny.
Okay, but a hobgoblin is, like, gnome-sized, from my understanding.
Goblins are, like, halfling-sized. Are you going to force me to go into my D&D bestiary to see how tall a D&D goblin is?
No, let's not worry about it.
I will sit here and debate semantics with you for an hour. I don't care.
A hobgoblin is gnome-sized and more of like a helpful garden sprite.
Oh, okay. Well, that
is what I got.
Okay, so we're talking about like if goblins were good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I can see
they're good goblins.
They're good goblins. They're more gnome-esque. Gnome-esque.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So we don't have to sit here. Yeah, because goblinoid, small humanoid, neutral, evil. That's a goblin.
Probably more like true neutral or chaotic good for a hobgoblin.
But they are tiny. Okay. But why are they inconvenient? Tell me about that.
Well, they're not inconvenient to our protagonist, Eliza Bentayne, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Oh yeah, that's a Lizzie Bennet if I ever heard it.
They're actually her friends, and our first scene, the first line, I just have to read it. I'd never seen an angry hobgoblin before, and apparently this image is quite humorous. But it's her best friend who is angry about the fact that riders are coming,
oh,
which we can go to assume are dragon riders, or wyvern. Yeah, can't pronounce that word today.
Wyvern.
Riders. I cannot.
We seem to spend a lot of time in our episodes trying to say, like, how do you pronounce this word?
for people who read so much, we're really not that well-spoken.
Oh, hey, well, there's a difference between being well-read and being well-spoken.
And the hobgoblins are very upset that these wyvern riders are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid the wyverns and the dragons are going to eat them.
Well, they are very tiny and presumably look very tasty.
And then a dragon lands in the garden.
Oh, God.
And guess whose dragon it is?
Is this the equivalent of Mr. Darcy?
Yes.
Mr. Darcy's a dragon rider?
Yes.
This makes him slightly more attractive to me. Just a little. Not enough, but a little. It makes him tolerable, I suppose.
His name is Daired. It's D-A-I-R-E-D.
Dared?
Dared? Anyway, he's this very proud, disagreeable fellow.
He's Mr. Darcy.
Exactly.
Okay. Do I hear a puppy dog?
Yeah, Cassie's just waking up from a nap.
Hello, puppy.
I get to record this outside of my bedroom today.
Oh, that's fine. Who doesn't appreciate a dog or two in a podcast, you know?
True.
I mean, people enjoy cats in podcasts. There are famous podcast cats.
Now, the whole reason they're coming is that Maryborn Manor is having a problem with griffins.
Ah.
And griffins will attack anyone and kill them. And Eliza knows this firsthand because this really isn't spoilers, but one of her sisters has been killed by a griffin.
Which one? I feel like that's a bad thing to ask, but like, which, if we were talking about Bennett's sister's equivalent, which one dies?
I believe it's the equivalent of Kitty.
You mean Kitty and Lydia?
Nope, just Kitty.
How, so she was only like half eaten then?
No. Kitty.
We made the assumption that they were a single entity last episode. Like, we can't treat them like they're two separate people all of a sudden.
Yes, but then they separated eventually.
So I'm assuming that the griffin, like, bit them in half, ate Kitty, and Lydia survived.
Okay, yes, we can go with that. I'm not going to argue with this.
Moving on.
So she's extremely happy that these riders are here. Until her hobgoblin friend starts flinging mud at this dragon rider that just landed.
That's beautiful. God, that's beautiful. Eat it, Darcy.
And I just have to say that Dairid's dragon is actually my favorite character.
Do they talk?
Yes, the dragons talk.
Oh my God, new favorite book! I'm sorry, I'm such a sucker for talking dragons in novels.
Her name is Akara.
Yes.
And she is fabulous.
Yes.
Brief skipping ahead. Well, there's a lot of stuff. So, Jane getting sick is translated. Jane is Anji.
Okay.
Short for Angelica, I believe.
Angelica.
Caroline is Charis.
Okay.
She's also a werven rider, but her werven was killed in battle.
Oh, bummer.
So, her brother Cedric,
aka
Bingling, has taken a house for them to kind of recuperate.
Okay.
And has taken this job in the middle of nowhere. So that they can kind of get away from all the attention because they killed the lesser lindworm.
I know a little bit of. Okay, so I owned Dragonology for a very, very long time and was like a huge Dragonology nerd. What are lindworms like in this book? Like, I want to know if they're any different from what I read in Dragonology a long time ago.
Well, we don't get a lot of information on the lesser lindworm.
Okay. Is there a greater lindworm?
Yes, but we'll get to them later.
Cool, okay. We'll talk about that later. Great.
We have to say it at least once a podcast. We're contractually obligated.
It's our byline. We have to say it.
So, there's a party. It's a very, like, peasant festival-esque party with step dancing.
Cool.
And Cedric, he goes by his last name in the book, but I just remember his first name. So I'm just going to call him Cedric.
That's okay. That works.
Dances with Angie again.
Angie.
I'm not quite 100% sure.
If her full name is Angelica, I feel like Angie is a good bet for her.
Well, it's spelled A-N-J-E-Y.
Angie. Yeah, I suppose.
We'll go with Andre.
Andre, okay.
Eliza loves to draw.
Uh-huh.
And she first has to translate for Tobble, the hobgoblin, as he apologizes to Dyred.
Oh, so can hobgoblins not speak, like, the common language?
No, they can't. He just wants to be kind of a jerk, because he doesn't want to apologize. So he's pretending he can't. They can learn the language, but he's pretending he doesn't
know it. He's choosing... I've seen many a TV show episode like that.
Yeah, it's the usual, oh, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to apologize, so I'm going to pretend I can't.
There's that episode of, did you ever watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
Oh my god. There's a beautiful, beautiful character. I wish I remembered her name because it's been so long since I haven't watched the new season yet. There's a character who was one of the, quote-unquote mole women who got stuck in the bunker, who, she's bilingual, but the entire time that she's on a talk show, she pretends that she can't speak English, because she says in Spanish, like, these bitches didn't bother to learn how to speak Spanish, so why do I have to learn how to speak English for them? And it's beautiful.
Okay, so, now, there's a lot of dragon names in here, like, I just opened randomly to one called Silverwing, but... Basically, Eliza loves drawing. She always carries charcoal around with her so she can sketch if she gets bored.
Cool.
So at this party, she sees Akara. And first off, Akara decides to kind of break convention.
Uh-huh.
Because I guess, from my understanding, was that dragons only really speak to people they know.
So, like, a dragon isn't allowed to speak to someone that isn't their rider?
No, they can speak to people who aren't their rider.
Okay.
But they tend to not.
Okay, is it like...
Unless they're, like, well-known to them. I don't really understand it, but at one point, Akara is talking through Dyred, and then she switches to talking directly to Eliza.
Should we assume that it's like a class thing the way that it is in Pride and Prejudice?
I think so.
Like, this dragon's too good to be talking to you kind of thing? Or like...
Well, that kind of comes across later, but it just kind of... That was one thing that really kind of confused me, is why Akara wasn't talking from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because after she starts talking to Eliza, she consistently talks to Eliza.
Okay.
So I think it's like a, I need to get to know you better type thing.
Uh-huh, alright.
So, Eliza sketches her, and then her dad's like, okay, time to go home. Mari didn't come to the party. I think we can all guess who that is.
Middle sister.
She stayed at home studying her bestiary.
This sounds a bit like Mary, yes.
Ledya.
He.
L-E-D-Y-A. So I'm pronouncing it Ledya, is super, she's not frivolous, which I really like that character choice. She's kind of, I don't know if she was frivolous before, Rini, I think is her name? Rina died. But right now she's not. She is very serious. She wants to become a fighter. Which she's not eligible to be a rider, but there's like a second, almost like enlisted men versus officers type thing going on.
Okay. Okay.
Where there's the rangers and the riders.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't, she wants to be a ranger, but only because she's not eligible to be a rider?
Well, most riders come from families. Like, they're families of riders.
Oh.
Or they start at, like, age 4 to train to become a rider.
Okay, so I'm starting to see kind of, like, the bigger Pride and Prejudice-esque elements to it. So they're not, like, of the proper class to be riders.
Yes. And they didn't start at the right time to become riders. So, Angie was talking to Cedric.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteers Eliza and her to go show them the North Field where Cedric rented a house.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming is similar to Netherfield.
It sounds much like it, yes.
On the way there, they encounter a group of rangers who accidentally drive griffins their way.
Oh.
Angie gets hurt, which is a parallel for Jane's illness.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, I see it. Okay.
Mr. Collins.
Ah.
I'm jumping around here.
That's okay.
Mr. Collins, what was his actual name?
Is it just kind of the Mr. Collins equivalent, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Curdred.
Okay.
Which I think is a beautiful name for a Mr. Collins character.
That's awesome.
Mr. Curdred, who is a magistrate, comes and marries Gwen.
Cool, okay.
Who is the Charlotte equivalent.
Uh-huh.
And Gwen marries him for different reasons than Pride and Prejudice, but I can't go into that. Spoiler, darling.
Right, like, let's save a little bit for the readers.
I'm going to mostly focus on the character equivalents and what's a little bit different between them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mrs. Bennett or Mrs. Bentayne,
uh-huh,
is remarkably less irritating.
Oh, good. Thank God. I couldn't stand Mrs. Bennett, honestly.
And honestly, when you put it into the context of she lost a daughter to one of these monsters.
Yes, that's true.
Her entire, I want to marry them off and get them out, makes a lot more sense. Especially when she starts throwing the girls at the riders.
Oh, yeah.
Because how much safer can you get than being with a rider?
With a rider, that's true. Now, I don't mean to backtrack, but my concentration is absolutely terrible.
No worries.
What exactly was it that killed Kitty?
Rena. A griffin.
Okay, so the griffins are like kind of the main threat in this, it sounds like.
Well, the main threat in the beginning.
In the beginning. So I'm assuming there's something else.
All right, so I'm gonna kind of go into, this is kind of in three arcs, is how I broke it up in my mind.
Okay.
You have the griffin portion.
Uh-huh.
Which is where we meet all of our main characters. You have this lull in the middle where nothing really, I don't want to say nothing happens, but there's no monster fights.
Is it more kind of hearkening back to Pride and Prejudice? Like, is it a lot of, like, social stuff, or?
No. It's a lot of almost political intrigue.
Ooh.
I don't want to go too far into it, but I don't want to give the wrong impression. There's corruption in Maryborn Manor.
Okay.
And that comes up right in the middle half where Gwen eventually marries Mr. Cudred.
God, that would have been so cool. Like, that. This is exactly the kind of, like, you're basically telling me all of the things that I wish were in Pride and Prejudice.
That is what it is.
This is awesome. Keep going.
Okay. And then you have, and in this arc, in this
the,
middle
the intrigue middle arc, okay,
is also where she ends up going to Lamsley, which is the equivalent of Lambton.
Okay.
For different reasons, people don't travel for fun, but there's a reason they go.
Mm.
And she travels to see Gwen at Mr. Cuttred's, meets the Lady Catherine equivalent, who is so much more pleasant.
It feels like everybody's a little bit more pleasant in this case.
Everyone is better.
It's Pride and Prejudice, but better, and with dragons.
Like, Lady Catherine's dragon.
Uh-huh.
Lady Catronia's dragon is the true Lady Catherine equivalent, in my mind.
Oh. Cool.
But I can't really go into that. I'm going to just skip because we all know Dyrid's going to propose to Eliza eventually. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's like the least surprising thing about this.
So I'm going to do a brief comparison of the proposals.
Okay.
Dyrid still insults her as he proposes.
Quality.
That's never going to change, no matter what.
It wouldn't be a Pride and Prejudice equivalent if it did.
She goes back to the proposal spot the next day and ends up meeting Araka there.
Okay. Oh, that's Dyrid's dragon. Okay, cool.
And she kind of explains it before she even gets Dyrid's letter.
Mm-hmm.
So, which makes it so much better.
Oh, so you literally have this, like, amazing deus ex machina of a dragon sit down and say, no, look, he wasn't trying to insult you.
No, she says, you know what, I can see why you would say no. I would have smacked him across the face if he was proposing to me.
Oh, that's great.
She says exactly what everyone's reading.
God, that's beautiful.
Into it, what every reader wants.
Why can't dragons be real, Jen? I wish I had a sassy dragon that lived with me all the time. I want a sassy dragon best friend.
Yes, you have a sassy dragon who doesn't give two fucks what anyone thinks. Which I think is our first F-bomb of the program this time. This is weird. But she's gonna do what she knows is right, basically.
Awesome.
And you get this whole thing about the Wickham equivalent, who, in my mind, is even worse in this.
Oh god, how could he be worse? How could Wickham be any worse than he already is?
Alright, so I'm going to quickly sum this up in, like, I'm going to say 30 seconds. Feel free to skip ahead if you don't want to know.
Oh, so this is going to be spoiler. Alright, spoiler alert! Boop, 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 boop. Okay, go.
Okay, so Wickham ends up tearing a hole in the Georgiana equivalent's dragon's wing so the dragon can never fly again. Because the dragon wouldn't choose him.
What a piece of shit. That is worse.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what an asshole. Like,
Yeah.
You don't mess with a girl's dragon, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, it's terrible. He is the worst.
Okay, spoiler alert over. Spoiler alert over. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, go.
That's what ended up happening.
Cool.
And
jerk.
You have that moment. And Lady Catronia is just so nice. Like, I was expecting, like, this evil witch-type person who's like, yes, I'm a dragon rider. I'm so much better than you. Blah, blah,
because
blah,
I'm
blah,
a
blah.
Dragon rider, yeah.
I get chosen by a dragon and you're just a Nakla, or whatever they call them.
Oh, do they have like a slang term for people who aren't writers?
Yeah, they have like a slang term.
Nakla. Cool.
She also created this full-on religion system for this novel.
Oh my god. Shoot me through the heart. That is my favorite thing about any piece of media ever. When they bother to take the time to form an entire religious pantheon for their story. Oh my, you hit my literary sweet spot. That's my favorite thing ever.
There's different religious groups.
Cool.
So what we would call humans have worship the fourfold god, which is almost like the triple mother, but with four aspects of mixed gender.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing.
And I didn't dive too much into it, but like there's an unmaker,
cool.
which is the death god. I think his name is Thel. There's a protector. There's a life giver, basically. And I forget what the fourth one is. I think a warrior god.
Oh, I'm so overjoyed. You have no idea. Jen, I know you don't play a lot of video games, but like this is exactly like when Night in the Woods came out. I was kind of like, you know, this is a really good game. It's really sweet. The characters are relatable. And then they're like, boom, guess what? We designed an entire religious pantheon just to fit into this game. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. They made an entire Zodiac. It was so good. This is my favorite thing about any fantasy novel ever. When they bother to take the time to, like, look up different religions and find things that they want to incorporate into this brand new religious arc or pantheon that they've made just for their book. Like, this is the hallmark for me of a good novel, because they bothered to take the time to do that, and it's well thought out. I'm done.
Okay. And I think that's where almost like the fanfiction but plus side is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we've all heard about terrible fanfic becoming a novel.
50 Shades.
50 Shades of Grey.
I got to it first, haha.
But
Twilight into 50 Shades of Grey, into whatever horrible 50 Shades of Grey fanfic has become a novel. Because I've heard about that happening.
Oh no. Please no.
Oh yeah. It's like an endless cycle. Harry Potter gives rise to Twilight. Twilight gives rise to 50 Shades of Grey. And some unholy thing has been born from 50 Shades of Grey.
You know what happens next? We get a good novel.
Not possible.
Yeah.
Nothing good can ever come from this. It's like, if we treat, well, you know, no. To be fair, we can no longer treat Harry Potter as like this high standard, because it's been around for so many years that, like, we've basically picked it apart and we know every, like, not perfect thing. So let's say that Harry Potter is Earth. Harry Potter is the land that we stand on. From Harry Potter, we've descended into a separate level of hell every single time. First Twilight, then 50 Shades of Grey, and then whatever the hell has come after 50 Shades of Grey. If there's ever a fanfic that's made from a 50 Shades of Grey fanfic being turned into a novel, we are literally going to hit rock bottom and come out the other side.
Oh, but you know what? Let me toss a few more fantasy creatures at you.
Oh, yes, please.
Just to see if they fall in the... And I'm borrowing from... another podcast terminology here, but the RE wheelhouse.
Do we need a free promo?
Yes, we do.
Are you providing free advertising?
I'm going to be borrowing a lot of terms from Reading Glasses.
TM.
Which is a podcast about how to read better.
Please listen to Reading Glasses. I actually have not heard an episode yet so far, but I take Jen's word.
Okay, their first episode is about how to get out of a book slump.
Oh, good.
And it literally dragged me into this novel. Okay, everyone, so we are now being joined by my lovely beagle butt, Cassie Jo.
Hi, Cassie.
She wanted attention.
That's fine.
Alright, so...
Okay, so yes, fantasy creatures, you were telling me.
That might fall in. So we've got griffins.
Awesome.
Dire wolves.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Banshees.
Of course.
And lamias.
Ah, what are those last ones? I don't think I've ever heard of a lamia before.
They're snake creatures, like half snake, half woman.
Oh, a bit like...
There are no males in their species.
So a bit like gorgons, or...
Kind of, yeah.
Cool.
But without the snake hair.
Okay, cool.
Like, bottom half is a snake.
You know what? There's something akin to that in the Dungeons & Dragons world that, for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of.
Okay.
I gotta look that up later.
And then you have the lindworms.
Which I'm assuming are kind of like, if I can remember properly, I'm assuming that a lindworm is like a flightless dragon? So it's literally like a long, like basically like a very, very long snake of a dragon with either no or vestigial wings.
I think so. I didn't really catch the whole description of them in the novel.
Okay.
Because honestly, I was reading it so fast and devouring it that when I finished it, I'm like, wait, that can't be the end. Like, yes, it's finished, but where's the rest of it?
Are you allowed to tell me how it ends, or is that too spoilery?
Well, I mean, it ends like any adaptation of Pride and Prejudice ever.
Happiness and marriage.
Yes.
Marriage.
Yes, but with dragons.
Marriage, but with dragons.
So, where were we?
You've basically, like, wrapped up most of what was important with the novel. You brought up fantasy creatures, you brought up some character similarities, you brought up some plot similarities.
Oh.
What's your favorite part of the book? Ledya? Oh, yes. Tell me about Ledya.
Okay. So, Ledya runs off with the Wickham equivalent to join the army, basically.
Asshole.
And he does even worse things than refuse to marry her, because that's not as big of a deal in this world.
Oh, jeez.
So, minor spoilers, the great lindworm eventually wakes up because its kid, the lesser lindworm, has been killed.
Right, you mentioned the lesser lindworm.
So, all the rangers and riders converge to go fight it.
Okay.
And Ledya was with the rangers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like the way this is going.
Wickham.
Should you stop telling me now, or...
breaks her leg to use her as bait.
Oh, are you fucking kidding?
She's fine.
Oh, I know, but what the
Everything's fine. Everything works out great. Because Dyrid saves the day.
But what the fuck?
But, yes, he's a total douche canoe.
I thought I couldn't hate this character any more than he already... I thought I couldn't hate this character more than I already hated him, and you made him a million times worse.
Yes, God. He is a million times worse, and God. It makes it even more beautiful. Because the fact that Dyrid didn't kill him immediately speaks to Dyrid's character. And there's a lot of shit where he's just a douche nozzle.
Ugh, what an ass. I hope Wickham gets the worst ending in every universe.
You know, I do too.
Jerk.
Oh, but the title of the book. I almost didn't get to why it's called Hearthstone.
Ah, okay.
So they don't propose using rings in this world?
Do they... Oh, do they propose with heartstones?
Yes, they cut a little stone out of the heart of the monsters they kill.
That's...
And they propose using that.
How do they turn it into a stone?
Oh, no, there's a little stone in the heart muscle of the monsters. And they cut it out.
Holy shit.
When they kill the monster. And then have it set into a piece of jewelry.
And propose with that.
And I'm like 90% sure, and this is Jen's interpretation, that it's supposed to represent like the struggle you would be willing to go through for them.
That is both exceedingly violent and so romantic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And can you see why I loved this book so much?
Holy shit, yeah. That's like... Damn, that's heroic as hell.
Like, you literally have everything.
I would use that in a campaign someday. Damn, that's good. That's really good. Stone from the heart of a monster, that's amazing. Oh my god, yeah, that's awesome.
And Eliza is a fucking badass.
Well, I mean, she already was, but, like, I can imagine her badass-o-meter has been turned up to 10.
Okay. Minor spoilers, but not really.
Uh-huh.
When Angie gets hurt by the griffin that the rangers accidentally dragged towards them.
Uh-huh.
She ends up getting this horrible infection, and they have to go find this one plant that grows in the middle of the forest where the griffins are living.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eliza's like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
She tells the dragon riders this, which is like Charis, Cedric, Dyred, all and two others.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, we'll go get it. And she's like, no, you don't know what the fuck this thing looks like. I'm the only one who knows what it looks like. I'm going with you.
Oh my god, yes.
So she goes into the middle of griffin territory to find a plant. She finds the plant. They get attacked by griffins.
Does she totally wreck the griffin's day?
She's trying to stay out of it because she is not a trained fighter. This is not Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Boo.
She ends up getting attacked by a griffin and killing it.
Yo!
By stabbing it over and over again with the knife that she was using to gather the plants.
That's amazing. And she has no fighting skill whatsoever?
Nope. She just managed to get the advantage and stab it until it died.
Oh man, what a badass. Badass,
and
Lizzie.
This is like foreshadowing for events later in the book that I'm not going to tell you about because you need to read it.
Right, yeah. Not too many spoilers for this.
But she is consistently a badass. Like, at one point, she faces down another dragon.
Not like a rider's dragon this time?
Oh, it's a rider's dragon, but she faces it down because the dragon ain't too pleased with her.
Oh, and she just, like, talks him down?
No fear.
Intimidation? So Lizzie rolled a nat 20 intimidation check.
Nope, she does not.
Oh, she doesn't?
She rolled, like, a 10 intimidation check.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so she wasn't able to intimidate the dragon, but...
She rolled a nat 20 on bravery.
Cool.
Honestly, everyone needs to go read Hearthstone.
Absolutely. This sounds amazing. I actually want to say, like, I mean, before we wrap this up, because this has already been kind of like a weird, rambly sort of bonus episode, I feel like the best way to kind of integrate this whole episode into what we've been talking about the last couple episodes is this sounds like a great way to get the feel of Pride and Prejudice in a way that is not absolutely boring.
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, and I almost forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I did pull up a few articles.
About Pride and Prejudice about or about book. This? About this, okay.
And basically, one's from All About Romance.
Uh-huh.
And the reviewer basically said, I was surprised this was a debut novel. And definitely keep an eye out for this author.
That's awesome. Congratulations to the author.
Another one was from loveisnotatriangle.com.
Cool.
Which basically reviews romance novels and tells you, does it have a love triangle? Is it a good romance novel?
Oh, that's awesome. I should put links for these websites in our description for this episode.
Yes, I'm going to send them to you so you can include it.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. Check out our description later on, you guys, to check out these websites because they sound super interesting.
But no love triangle factor.
Awesome.
It's technically a standalone, but I want to see more novels in this world.
Do you think that it has series potential?
I don't know if I would say series, but I would say the universe as a whole has potential. Like, I mean, if L. Catherine White was to do rewritings of every Jane Austen novel in this universe, I would, well, definitely Sense and Sensibility could easily be brought into this.
Oh, I'm sure. That's another one that you need to yell at me for because I haven't gotten to it.
But I'm just saying, I would buy these books, and I don't buy a lot of books anymore.
So this gets the Jen stamp of approval.
Yes.
And I feel like almost like I could totally see this book becoming not necessarily a study aid, because like your teachers are probably still going to say like, hey, you need to know these themes and motifs and stuff and like how it reflects back to life during the Regency era and stuff like that. But I could totally see this being like an accompaniment to Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely at least an accompaniment.
For sure. Like, and it definitely, and it doesn't sound like it's as weighted down with like the language of the era, which is part of the reason why, now that I can talk about this like sensibly, part of the reason why I never finished Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was because, yeah, there's zombies in it and that's supposed to make it more interesting, but I was so bogged down by the language of it that it was hard for me to get through. Like, I have really, really bad concentration issues when it comes to reading certain novels, and this was one of those, like, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies are both novels that, like, it was a pain for me to try and work through because the language required so much concentration of me.
Okay, the language is very modern.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that, L. Catherine White.
But it still maintains that poetic vibe that you get with Pride and Prejudice.
Awesome.
Where it's like, da-da-da-da-da. And it's written so beautifully, you have that image stuck in your head.
Yes. Good. Great.
But you don't have to fight the words to understand what the image is.
This sounds like a breath of fresh air for romance novels for me.
It is. And let me just say that as a romance novel, it is fucking fabulous because there are absolutely zero sex scenes. Like, the closest they get, and she does bring up the imagery of the 1995 version where Colin walks in just a wet shirt and pants.
Well, you couldn't not bring that up if you're talking about Pride and Prejudice.
When she visits Pemberley equivalent by having him sitting in just his trousers in the garden. But she conveys, like, how this societal thing would end up working, and it is. Just go read the book. I can't say it enough. Go read the book.
Go read this book, guys. What are you sitting here listening to us talk about it for? Just go read it for yourself. This is the first.
And Ari, let's.
Yeah.
Let's also include a link to buy this book.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. Can we also include. So you said that you actually. I bring this up from the beginning of the episode. You said that you actually got a chance to talk to this author on Tumblr.
Yes. Her Tumblr is L. Catherine White. Catherine with an A instead of an E in the middle.
So Catherine. Okay.
At Tumblr.
Okay. Super.
And she responds really fast. Like, I messaged her at an ungodly hour in the morning because I was getting ready for work, and I'm like, you know what? I should message her and let her know how much I enjoyed this book. And by the time I got home from work, she had replied, telling me how grateful she was to hear that I was enjoying the book.
Oh my gosh, that's...
And everything. And it was beautiful, and I apologize for the beagle cries in the background, but she won't shut up.
Your dog's going to become podcast famous. It's okay. Just like my cat could have become podcast famous if he had done something besides leap onto my window screen when we were recording the first episode. I'm calling you out, Zigby. Calling out my cat.
Scared me so much.
So I believe we've basically covered everything that we wanted to cover about this book.
Yep.
So,
and next episode, I promise, will be Lord of the Flies.
Yep, we're bringing it back to the classics next episode.
And I believe the episode after that, we already have our book picked out.
Do we?
I thought we were going to do another one, like Heartstone, for Lord of the Flies.
Oh, for our, yes, for our bonus episodes. What is it that you said that it was? Was it,
Beauty Queens.
Beauty Queens, and so this is essentially...
By Libba Bray.
All right, and this is basically Lord of the Flies, but with...
Pageant Queens.
That is the best scenario. Oh my god.
And it's supposedly amazing. So...
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to do this then.
Hey, maybe you can run it next time.
Oh, yes, maybe. I mean, I'm a very slow reader.
Maybe that's how we can do this bonus.
I am a slow reader, and I have a backlog of, like, 5 different books that I need to finish up, but, like, I can try and speed read through them and get to Beauty Queens by next month.
Okay. We'll try. We'll see how it goes.
We'll give it a shot. Yeah, you know. Nothing is certain, Jen. Nothing is certain.
So, if there is a novel based off of a classic novel that you want us to read, give us a shout out. Let us know.
Mm-hmm. You can contact us at any of our social media accounts, Burnwall Reading on Tumblr, at BWR Podcast on Twitter. What am I forgetting?
We now have a Facebook group called Burnwall Reading Official.
We do have a Facebook group. Now, thank you for doing that for me, Jen, because I am not a big Facebook person.
I am not either, but I have notifications turned on.
And you can email us at burnwallreadingpodcast@gmail.com. I believe that covers just about everything.
Yep. I created a Goodreads account for us as well.
Oh my goodness. You're going to have to teach me how to use that too, because I have never used Goodreads before in my entire life.
I'm just basically reviewing the books as I read them, like with stars.
Ah, okay.
And I figured we could probably post links to our episodes.
That sounds fantastic.
All right. So until next time, which will be in 2 weeks, keep reading.
Keep reading, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
This is all getting cut out anyway, so I can do whatever I want. Do 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 do. This is all getting cut, so it doesn't matter what I do. Do 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 do. Boop 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 boop. This is getting cut.